All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go back to the Old Testament book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 24. Well, scoot over. Huh? Well, smack him then. All right, now behave, Bill. All right, Numbers 24. Everybody got it? All right, now I think you look up to the top of the page, you will see that this is about a story about Balaam. You say, well, who in the world was Balaam? Well, Balaam was a false prophet. But something happened, and I'll tell you about it in just a moment. But something happened, and Balaam, who was a false prophet, ended up making one of the greatest prophecies about the Lord Jesus in the Bible. I mean, it's amazing. And I'll share more with you in a moment about that. But look down at verse 15. It says, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a, what's the next word?
Star.
And you'll notice that's capitalized. Now, the King James translators capitalized that because they knew that this was talking about the Lord Jesus. All right, so Balaam says that there would come a star out of Jacob. Now notice that, a star out of Jacob. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now, let me just say right here that Balaam, a false prophet, but yet he makes a prophecy about the Lord Jesus that is absolutely phenomenal. All right, I want to speak to you tonight about, on this subject, the star out of Jacob. The star out of Jacob. Keep your Bible open. And I'm going to have you look at a few things tonight, but the star out of Jacob. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your blessing to be upon us. I pray that you will bless the message tonight. I pray you'll help me to say what I need to say. I want to be an encouragement, and I want folks to see the truth that is here. And so I pray you'll help me to get that truth across. And may the Lord be honored in what is said tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, the verses that I read for you this evening are a part of the story of the Old Testament character Balaam. Balaam was a phony prophet. He was a false prophet. He was a hireling. Do you know what a hireling is? That's a prophet for hire that will say whatever you want him to say. And he was hired by the king of Moab to prophesy against Israel. But instead, he curses Moab and pronounces a blessing upon Israel. So he just got everything backwards. All right? So in this story, he is hired by the Moabites to curse Israel, but he ends up speaking a blessing to Israel and ends up cursing Moab. Now you might say, well, Pastor, how in the world did that happen? Well, it happened because God put in Balaam's mouth the words of truth. Even though Balaam was not a man of truth, God gave him the words of truth, and he then spoke them, doing the exact opposite of what he was paid to do and to say. All right, he was blessing Israel and cursing Moab, the people who hired him. It was supposed to go the opposite way. Now, just a little sidebar. There's a little lesson we can glean from this before I get to the message, and that lesson is this. God will not be stopped no matter what. There is no way the devil is going to thwart the will and the plan of God. I mean, even if God has nobody through whom he can speak, God can take a fellow as wicked and as sinful as Balaam and use him to advance his purposes. In Psalm 76 and verse 10, David said, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain." But notice that Balaam gets no credit for speaking this great prophecy in verse 17. For you see, God does not honor men like Balaam, even though they may speak his message. You'll remember in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, verse 21 through verse 23, the Lord Jesus said in that message, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, and have in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then," Jesus said, "will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So Balaam was a false prophet, but God used his message. All right, now, I want you to look at that little phrase, "star out of Jacob." That little phrase speaks of the great future of the Lord Jesus. You see, he came the first time and was anything but a star. He was rejected, you remember. He came the first time and was crucified on Calvary's cross. He came the first time and men turned on him and crucified him and spat upon him as they saw him hanging on the cross. But he's going to come a second time. And when he comes back to this earth at his second coming, he will be the star of the show, so to speak. All right? Now notice the wording. He is the star out of Jacob. Now why does Moses say that and tell us what Balaam prophesied here? Well, he tells us that because the Lord Jesus would come from Israel, from Jacob. You might remember on that evening before Jacob and Esau were to meet after 20 years of being separated, Jacob had a meeting in the night with the angel of the Lord, who was the Lord Jesus, and the Lord changed his name from Jacob to Israel, right? So he is, Balaam said that Jesus is the star out of Jacob. Now, I want us to think about this great prophecy, and I want us to consider just a couple of things here tonight about the star. I think the star gives us four little lessons that we can use. Number one, I want to say, first of all, the star speaks to us of rank. The star speaks to us of rank. You know, even today in our military, stars are used to indicate rank. When speaking of those who have earned the highest rank in our military, we notice that they have stars on their shoulders, which indicates to everyone that they are high in rank and are to be respected. Well, folks, I want to serve notice on you that the Lord Jesus is the highest rank of anyone in this universe. In Revelation 19, when John saw the Lord Jesus coming out of heaven at his second coming, to which this prophecy is looking to, but when John saw Jesus coming out of heaven to descend upon the earth at his return, his second coming, John saw him, you remember, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was not just the King, he saw him as the King of Kings. He was not just the Lord, John saw him as the Lord of Lords. So that's our Savior. He is not just the King, he's the King of Kings. He's not just the Lord, he's the Lord of Lords. And nobody in the universe has a rank higher than the Lord Jesus. Our Savior outranks any president, outranks any earthly king, outranks any monarch, outranks any emir, outranks any prince, any dictator, any general, any angel, any demon, and Jesus is certainly higher than the devil could only hope to be. And I trust you understand, folks, that the devil is nothing more. Satan is nothing more than a yes man. He can only do what the Lord Jesus allows him to do. He cannot do anything without getting permission from the Lord Jesus. When he thought that he would attack Job in Job chapter 1 and unleash all that torment and anguish upon him, first, you read in Job 1 that he had to go up to heaven and ask permission from the Lord to go after Job. The truth is, folks, no one is even close to coming to be an equal to the Lord Jesus. He is the highest of the high. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 that he is the only potentate. So he's the highest of the high. Now, Christian, remember what I just said to you. The next time there is an inner conflict that you have with your old nature between what others want you to do and what the Lord Jesus wants you to do, remember that the Lord Jesus is the highest of the high. So you had better listen to the Lord and not listen to men that try to influence you in one direction or another. I told you about when I got saved the next morning. There was a trash can right by my locker. And I used to go in, my bus got there early, and I would sit on that trash can and wait for my friends to show up. And so their lockers were all right there with mine. And so they came down the hall and said, "Where were you this weekend?" And I said, I went to church. And they said, "Again?" I said, "Yeah, again. And as a matter of fact, yesterday I got saved." And the rotten one in the group looked over and said, "Well, we'll get that out of you Friday night." See, we had this big bash planned for Friday night. "Oh, we'll get that out of you Friday night. Well, I want to serve notice on you. There's been a whole heap of Friday nights go by, and I still got it. Amen. Nobody could get it out of me. And so realize, folks, you want to do what the Lord wants you to do. No one is higher than Jesus. He outranks anything and anybody. I'm saying the star which Balaam saw coming one day speaks to us of his rank. And there is no one higher than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Secondly, I want you to see or think about the star speaks to us of stability. You ever notice those stars are always in the same spot every night? You ever go out and look at them? They're always in the same spot every night. Can I ask you to think about something? I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but do you realize that we today see the same stars that Abraham saw? You ever thought about that? The exact same stars that you go out in the night and look at when you go out in the parking lot tonight to your car. Many of you, most of you, will probably look up. If the sky is clear, you will look up and you will just stare at the sky for a few minutes and look at the stars. But I want you to realize that those stars are the exact same stars that Abraham saw. My point is, folks, they never change. It's complete stability every single time. Do you remember what God told Abraham to do? He told him, said, Abraham, in Genesis 15:5, he said, if you can look up in the sky and you can count all the stars, that is the number of descendants that are going to come from you as I bless you. If you can see the stars and count them, then you will know how many descendants will come from you. Now, the stars speak to us of stability. Folks, they have not changed. I mean, from the flood until today. Well, actually, going back before the flood, but before the flood, there was this canopy over the earth, and I'm not sure they could see the stars. But from Noah to us, we know that those stars have not changed. All men who have ever lived on this planet have looked up and have seen the exact stars that you and I will see tonight if we look up in the night sky. Think about it. Noah stepped off the ark and that canopy was gone. And when he looked up and saw the stars, he was looking at the same stars that you and I are going to look at tonight. They are always the same. They are as stable as they can be. Now, the Lord Jesus is the picture, the epitome of stability as he is revealed in our scriptures. Do you remember Hebrews 13:8? The author of that great book said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Exactly right. I'm telling you, Jesus never changes. In eternity past, before the heaven and the earth were created by him, he was exactly then as he is today. He never changes. And for as long as eternity rolls, Jesus will be God's Lamb who was slain for each and every one of us. And you know, the world has nothing comparable to rely on. And they don't. The world has nothing comparable to rely on. When he went back to heaven and when he sat down upon the throne of God, he did so to make intercession for us. And we now can come to him as our great high priest day or night, and never, I mean never, will there ever be a time when you will bow your head and say, Dear Heavenly Father, there will never be a day when the Lord does not hear you. He is the same. Christ is a certainty that you and I can trust forever. You see, folks, one of the attributes of God, and so it's an attribute of the Lord Jesus, is his immutability. You say, wow, Pastor, what's that word mean? Well, it means he never changes. Never. He is as stable as he can be. Then thirdly, I want you to see that the star speaks to us, number three, of influence. The star speaks to us of influence. You see, folks, you don't have to speak about the stars in our night sky very long before somebody brings up the influence of the stars upon mankind. You see, God created those stars and put them in the night sky for a reason. God put them up there to help us, to influence, to help us. Sailors have used the stars in the night sky to assist them as long as there have been men building boats and getting on the seas. The stars were studied by the Chaldeans. You know those wise men that came from the east? Those wise men were astronomers. They studied the skies. That's how they knew that star was out there, because they went out and looked at the night sky. They mapped it. They knew every star that was in the night sky. They mapped it. And when they went out and saw that there was a star, they remembered, no doubt, this passage of scripture right here. No doubt. They remembered this passage. You say, well, where did those Chaldeans, those Babylonians get this scripture? They got it from the children of Israel when Nebuchadnezzar captured them and took them to Babylon. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's no way those Jews are going to go out of Jerusalem without taking the scriptures with them. They valued that those scrolls more so than their own lives. And no doubt those wise men would have gotten a hold of those scriptures and would have learned that the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one that was coming, was the star. And they followed that star until it led them to where the Lord Jesus was laying in Bethlehem's in Nazareth in that house. The star led them. All right. So I'm saying that what God gave as a blessing, men have used for many years. But now we all know that you give sinful man just an inch and he's going to take 10 miles, right? And so what God gave as a blessing, men today have turned into a curse. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You see, astronomy, just like everything else, was influenced by the devil, and astronomy became astrology. Astrology. And let me say, astrology is a bunch of nonsense. Getting up every morning and looking at your horoscope to see how your day is going to go is the biggest bunch of unreliable foolishness that ever was. God's people should never rely upon a tool of the devil. There is another who should influence your day. You see, the influence of the star out of Jacob is not nonsense. Instead of getting up and going out and retrieving your paper so that you can come in and read your horoscope, that ought to tell you all you need right there. Horoscope. Instead of going out and reading your horoscope to see how your day's going to go, why don't you open up the Word of God and let the Word of God guide your day? Amen. That's good preaching right there. Now, the influence of the star is out of Jacob is not nonsense. Quite the opposite. I mean, I've seen the influence of the star of Jacob. I've seen the influence it has on people, haven't you? I saw the influence it had on me. I remember when I got saved, all of a sudden, quit drinking. All of a sudden, quit cursing. One of the good shepherds this morning said, so you're the pastor? I said, yes. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, well, sure. He said, how can I stop cursing? And I said, all right, it's real simple. You ready? He said, yeah. I said, just don't ever cuss again. He smiled real big and he said, that's it? I said, that's it. He said, well, what happens when I get mad? I said, now, don't get mad. He said, well, sometimes I just get mad. And I said, are you reading your Bible? And he said, well, not like I should. I said, read your Bible, and your Bible will keep you from getting mad. And if you don't get mad, you won't curse. And he said, well, that makes sense. I said, amen, put her there. And we shook hands on it. So hopefully he's going to stop cursing. Just look at what the star has done, folks. He has made drunkards sober. He has made thieves honest. He has made harlots pure. He has made liars truthful. He has made gamblers godly. And he has made the proud humble. Hold your place here and go over to 1 Corinthians for just a moment. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me show you what Paul says about this. First Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9, please. In verse 9, Paul says to the Corinthian church, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All right, now look up at me. Who is Paul writing to here? The church at Corinth. All right. Now, he's writing this to church people. Nod your heads. Right. OK, look at verse 11 now. He just got through naming all of this wickedness. And he says, and such were. Notice that again, just like this morning, the word were is that past tense, present tense or future tense. It's past tense. Exactly right. And such were some of you in the church. You used to be like these people who are not saved and are not going to heaven. He said, you used to be like them. And such were some of you. But what happened to you? Well, ye are washed. You got washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your sins are gone. They've been washed away. Amen. He said, but ye are sanctified. Sanctified means to make holy. How do you make something holy? You get it born again, for one thing. That's where you start with getting something holy. All right? So he said, you've been washed, you've been sanctified, but ye are justified. That's just as if you had never sinned. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, folks, the influence of the star out of Jacob upon a life is incomparable. There's just nothing like it. And aren't you thankful? The star out of Jacob got a hold of your life and changed you. I thank God daily that I am not what I used to be. If I was what I used to be, I'm telling you, you folks would never have invited me to come here and be your pastor. If I was what I used to be, Karen would never have given me the time of day. You see, the Lord changes us. All right? The Lord changes us. So the star speaks of influence. Then lastly, the star speaks of guidance. Now, I touched this a moment ago, but let me zero in on it for a minute here. You realize that for centuries, men have relied upon the stars to guide them on land and in the oceans, even in the air. In the last century, men relied in the early days of airplanes. They relied upon the stars to guide their paths. They have used the stars because they are 100% reliable. I mean, you're not going to get out on the ocean and look up and go, oh, wow, everything's different. No, it's not. It's always the same. It speaks of guidance. It's a little ironic that we call celebrities, whether in Hollywood or in sports or in entertainment, but we call these people, quote unquote, stars. And yet, just about every one of them uses their star status to lead people astray. Just all of them. They use their star status to lead people astray. I wish they'd stay out of politics, don't you? I wish they would just keep their mouths shut. Because to be honest with you, I don't care, and I don't think a lot of people care, and I just don't want to hear it. No, just about every one of them uses their star status to lead people astray. No Hollywood star uses his or her influence to nudge you closer to God. Now, they use their star to nudge the public towards corruption, away from God and away from the truth. These stars are not going to guide you to a better life. They're just not going to do it. But the Lord Jesus, the star out of Jacob, is a guide for us that we can trust. Hey, Christian, did you know that God has a perfect plan for your life? Did you know that? God has a perfect plan for your life. And he will guide you in that plan if you will walk with him. The Lord Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount I referenced a moment ago, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, as we trust in the Lord Jesus and as we walk in step with him and his word, he promises to guide us along the way. The star out of Jacob will guide us in the truth and in the way of righteousness. So Balaam's prophecy looked all the way down the road, folks, all the way down the road to see the Lord Jesus, the star out of Jacob, coming back to this earth. He said, this star will be the one who will at last bring peace to the world. Look at your Bible in verse 17. He said that the star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and he will smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth, and Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall he come that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. So the Lord is the one who is going to come and bring finally peace to this world. The United Nonsense, I mean the United Nations, has utterly failed to bring peace. Utterly failed. All of the treaties, all of the pacts that these world leaders have all gotten together and signed, all of them are eventually broken and their agreements fall apart. But when the star out of Jacob returns to this earth at our Lord's second coming, finally there will be peace on the earth. In verse 19, the star will rule the whole world and will have dominion over all things. After all, when Jesus comes back at his return, he will be the star of the show. John said in Revelation 1 that when he comes back, every eye is going to see him. Every eye. Paul said the same thing. Every eye shall see him. Can you imagine that? Every eye will see him. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Man, that's quite a star, don't you think? Amen.